part two of the Buzz Bubble with Mike Hughes. On the Buzz Bubble.
The best creative work always reflects the client, but it also reflects the people who make the work.
Right.
And you can see that very visibly in a lot of our work. You could see Andy Azzulla in the UPS campaign. You can hear in some of the musical spots we've done over the last couple of years, you can hear Dave Muhlenfeld in those spots. One of the things that the Geico client has let us do over the years is have a number of different writers write for the Gecko. And that's why the Gecko has had all these different personalities over the years. And
okay.
Most clients would be very rigid.
Gotta have that guy, yeah.
Yeah, gotta have that, yeah. And what Ted Ward has done, and I think he's been brilliant about this, is if Ken Hines writes a Geico spot, it comes off like Ken Hines. When Joe Lawson wrote one, it was Joe Lawson. Bob Maher, it was Bob Maher. And that voice comes out. And people think that we're always changing the voice talent. And we've changed it a few times over the years. But usually it's just that the whole context changes.
Right, right.
And so one time the gecko will be out in the jungle with other geckos. And another time it'll be driving a sports car down the highway. So it's... And another time, it'll be sitting across from a talk show host explaining what it's all about. And if you get to know the writers behind it, well, that's Joe, and that's Bob, and that's Ken, and it's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
so what you want people to do is create work where they can put themselves into it. And that's good for the client, and it's good for the person, when they feel that they've got to do something that doesn't feel natural and right.
It's wonderful that the client lets you do that, but gets, you know, joins in and says, okay, I'm listening, that sounds great, let's try it. You know, and I always hear, I ask the questions, you know, and how did the client buy in, and did you have to sell the work? And everybody says, we don't sell the work, it's a conversation, but, you know, great work comes from great agencies, but it also comes from working with the client.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the biggest challenges I think we have in advertising, and it's got to be liberating for you. I guess maybe we can segue into, you know, the brilliant Geico work that you've done over the past many years. Maybe we'll start there. You know, with how, you know, did the client help you? You know, when you came up with these ideas, and a lot of people say, "Oh, did you have to sell it?" Okay, man, what do they think of this? You know, how did that go?
The Gecko actually. I killed the gecko four times before it got out of the pill because it always struck me
as so funny.
And the team that bought it kept bringing it until they finally confessed that they had been at drinks with a client and actually shown it to the client. So I thought, well, one commercial, how bad can it be? And so they did one commercial and they came in at the end and they said, we're giving it British Cockney kind of voice.
Really,
I said, why? I don't want. And they said, well, it was just funnier.
Geico.
And so he ended up with a British voice. And then there was an actor's strike. And so we had to do something that didn't have a lot of on-camera talent. And so the client said, well, we kind of like that gecko. So we did another round of gecko spots. And then it just became part of the culture.
Pardon me for not knowing, what was the chronology of Gecko, Caveman, Testimonial, those three different campaigns? When did they come about simultaneously? Was it one after another?
It was not one after the other. Another interesting thing that our team and the people at Geico, who've kept their team very simple over the years, originally it was Pat and Ted, and it's still Ted. And when he gives us a new assignment, he had to put up with the pressure from a lot of his bosses at one time who were saying, we want the gecko in everything. And we said, yeah, that's gonna get old.
It's gonna wear.
Yeah, that's gonna get old. And so we took him other things. And the challenge for him was to find the Geico voice. And if we did that, which was a wide-ranging voice. I mean, there's some surprise in most of the spots, some humor in most of the spots. But if you look at the Little Richard spot beside one of the gecko spots, beside one of the cavemen spots, they're very different in styles. And yet, so we're breaking all the rules of advertising 101. But what we're doing is we have constant opportunities to come out of the box with something that surprises people. And when something takes off, we can keep it going for years.
Right. That's certainly one byproduct from that approach, is that none of them have gotten old. Those three executions are still fresh and wonderful.
One of the things we did many years ago was we wanted to answer the question, how does GEICO keep everything so economical? And our answer was flying monkeys. So we had commercials with flying monkeys doing all the office work. And it ran for 2 or 3 days. And GEICO's phones just stopped ringing. Nobody was calling. And we went back to other things that were working. What a huge opportunity. Some clients, first of all, they don't know whether it's working or not.
Right, right.
And second, but we count computer clicks and phone calls with GEICO.
Right. Sure.
It's a direct response campaign.
Right.
And the fact that we had other things, other campaigns that we could just dial up. If one of them stopped working, we could just go on to something else. And so it's been a wonderful model.
Another thing that's so rare, it's a wonderful campaign, but you actually have people not caring. They care about the brand, but they care about the characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, so much that, you know, we had a short lived, but we had a pilot for the caveman, you know, and people care about the gecko and they care about the caveman, and you know, which one is that? And that's amazing to do that with advertising.
The caveman was the TV show was a learning experience for us. We went to 3 of the 4 networks. All three were interested. ABC made the best case, and they told us, and you know, we couldn't debate this. They said, "You guys don't know how to do a situation comedy, so we'll take the reins of this." And we said, "Fine, we'll go and learn." I went to one day of the pilot shoot, and was so depressed I couldn't go anymore. And so I have never seen a minute of the show. I have 2 pilots somewhere on discs around here, but I've never watched a minute of it, because what I think is, you know, maybe we would have screwed it up if we had done it our way too. So I'm not saying that we knew how and they didn't, because we know what a roulette wheel that business is. But I thought our concept and Joe Lawson's vision for the caveman was richer than what they did. And
they put into 30 and 60 second spots so much. You got to know these people. Yeah. Which one is this? This is the one with all the angst, and this one wants to be accepted. And it was just like,
We had all the late night guys talking about them. Katie Couric saying she loves them and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's pretty amazing.
Oh, it was. We were talking about, you know, how to keep the young ones creative, and you said, there was a quote that said, you had a time where you thought that, actually, you were staying up at night because I think Andy mentioned to you that it didn't feel like you're a creatively driven company, and we touched upon that, but I had that specific, and then you certainly got your mojo back, you know, and what was that road? Trying to point out all this stuff, but
No. This is,
because we all go through it.
We've all gone through this. We were going through one of those defensive periods where, the economy wasn't good and we weren't winning a lot of new business, and we were acting more out of fear than we even knew we were. We didn't know it. You know, there's not a day you walk in and say, well, now I'm scared, and so now we've got to protect this and protect that. But that starts nibbling at you. And I was having a meeting with the department, and Andy Azula said, you know, it's just not feeling like a creatively driven company. And that just stopped me in my tracks. And it just got in my head, and I didn't sleep the next couple of nights because it felt true. It felt that we had really lost that impulse. And it was, incredibly depressing to me. And it was indicative of a long-term problem if we let that go on. There's no reason to come to Richmond, Virginia for your advertising if we don't offer something special. And so I think we really just redoubled our efforts. It was about that time when we made some changes in the structure. I made like 13 people creative directors almost overnight.
Wow.
And said, you guys have these accounts, and you're responsible, each one of you. It so happened I went through some of my health problems a couple months after that, and I ended up having to spend the summer up at Johns Hopkins. And so these guys, I wasn't even here. It hurt my feelings. They did so much better without me here. They did great. They rose to the top and rose to the occasion. And they did some work. And they built some client relationships that we could build on. You know, you're not going to fix that overnight. Because you get into the trap where you're taking your client's work that's easier to sell in, and it's easier to buy into from right. the client's point of view. Some of the creative people get mad when I say this, but I think the clients have a harder job than we do. They have to approve the work. They have to go to their bosses who don't understand any of this marketing stuff right. or advertising stuff, and they have to say, this is going to work. And that's a hard
that's
thing
a great
to
point.
Do. It's a hard thing to do. And so what you do, the pressure on them and therefore the pressure on us is always to, don't let that edge stay there. You know, smooth that down until right. you've smoothed the cube down into a bowling ball.
And no edge left.
Yeah. And so making these folks responsible and letting them rise to the occasion. They did great, and our work started to improve. I don't think we've completely got our mojo back yet, but I have never been so excited about the future for this agency. The next generation of leadership. I'm planning to live and work forever, and they're going to have to take me out of here on a stretcher. But the next generation of leadership we've got here now is fabulous, really fabulous.
That's it for part two of The Buzz Bubble with Mike Hughes. Tune in next week for part three.